But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The quarterback and running back can move the football. That's big.
I do have one for you, Donnie, and thank you for letting me finish. 35.2. That's percent third down conversions against the Steelers. Their defense on third downs is second in the NFL. You watch tomorrow. That could decide the game. Can they get off the field? They tend to get off the field most of the time, especially against Lamar. We'll see. And I'll leave you with this one, Donnie. It's a repeat from earlier in the show, but it's mind-blowing. 3,786. That's Russell Wilson's career playoff passing yards. If he even gets to 200 yards in this game, he will pass on the postseason passing list. Terry Bradshaw, Jim Kelly, Troy Aikman, and Kurt Warner. That's all, Sean. Just those four guys. 50-minute mark on the Fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Nick Kostos next. You talk about a numbers game. He's going to give us the best bets of this game. I believe that he's going to say the Ravens will cover. I could be wrong, but that's my bet, if you will. You like that horse?
I do like that
horse. On what Kostos will say. All right, let's go to FanDuel. And we're in the midst of history here because the first time ever we got five straight days of playoff football in college and the pros. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge, celebrating with the great playoff payoff. 4 days left, of course, after last night's game, which I gave you, incidentally, that Notre Dame would cover. Didn't I, Donnie? That's a no-sweat same-game parlay for all the games. With a no-sweat SGP, you can combine your bets from the same game for a chance at even bigger winnings. And if it doesn't hit, you'll get bonus bets back. So not only do we get to watch four more days of playoff football, but that's four more chances to win big. Just FanDuel.com/Starkey to be part of this epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Starkey. 21 plus, present in Pennsylvania. Opt-in required. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's get right to it on a Donnie Football Friday here. Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL Network, and watch from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Fast Channel or Peacock. All right, Nick. Do we still have a 10-point spread? Is that the latest? And why didn't the Zay Flowers situation change the spread at all? And how do you play this game?
Well, what's going on, guys? Great to be on with you. Yes, Joe, we are sitting 10 is the point spread in the game. Baltimore, a 10-point home favorite. Zay Flowers got ruled out, and the Ravens got bet more, which I think just speaks to genuine pessimism, right, in the Pittsburgh Steelers and the way the Steelers closed the season. They did cover last week against Cincinnati, which was awesome, thankfully, but obviously did not win the game. And I will maybe be alone on Steelers Island yet again here. I bet the Steelers plus 10. I think the game's going to be closer than the market indicates here. And I'll just use like a point spread comparison. So when these two teams played a couple Saturdays ago in Baltimore, Baltimore's like a 7-point favorite in the game. So now, just a couple weeks removed from that, and I understand the Ravens won all those games and the Steelers lost all of theirs. A couple weeks removed, and Baltimore's number one receiver's out, and we're all the way up to 10. I would push back against that. I don't think the Steelers are going to win, but I do think the game can be closer than the market indicates. So one last ride for me with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up, plus the points on Saturday.
Nick, do you think the Steelers should feel disrespected that they're playing an AFC North game, a team they're familiar with, and they're the biggest Well, no, I don't think so. But they're the biggest underdog of wild card weekend, even more so than Denver at Buffalo.
Well, I just it's a fair question the way you posed it like that. Baltimore is, and this is going to sound nuts to people because they're the third seed in the AFC. The Ravens are the highest power rated team in the NFL. Like in the betting markets, the Ravens are the best rated team. It does not mean the Ravens are going to win this game or the Super Bowl. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Just that the Ravens are rated exceptionally highly and the Steelers are on a 4-game losing streak. And remember, guys, when the Steelers hosted Baltimore in what, week 11, the Ravens were 3-point road favorites in that game. And that was when the Steelers were playing well. So the Steelers have never been rated highly in the betting market this season. And the Ravens are the highest rated team. And that's how you get to this point. But look, is it disrespectful? I don't know. Like, don't look terrible your last 4 games of the season. Maybe the spread's not like this. So I don't think they should feel disrespected. Go out there and win the game and prove that you actually mean something and are worth something this year.
I think it's an unbelievable slap to the Steelers' faces to be 10-point underdogs. And I get it. I'm not making excuses for them. And I think the like you, yes, on your advice, I will bet them, Nick. I think that 30 of the 37 games between Harbaugh and Tomlin have been decided by one score. 30 of 37. The Steelers have beaten them 8 out of 10. They went into Baltimore with 3/4 of a roster, a banged up TJ Watt, no secondary, and no Pickens. And that was a one score game in the fourth quarter. This is very matchup specific, and I'm using this all week long, and I thought it was a ludicrous point spread based on every bit of history between these two teams, including recent.
So Joe, you're preaching to the choir. Like, I agree with you. Like, I bet the Steelers plus 10. But where I'll push back on that, like, we can all have our opinions and say we think the game's going to be closer for the reasons like why we think that. But yeah, just something to remember here, you know, and now that it's the playoffs, these lines are all not that, like, the Steelers can win by 30. That's not the point of what I'm about to say. But these lines are all so sharp. There's so much data that goes into this, like a whole season's worth of data. And there are millions upon millions of dollars being bet. And I'm not talking, and I don't mean this derisively, by like my next door neighbor putting $20 on it. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, heavy money being bet by people that move markets, influential bettors, people that win, that shape these markets. So I agree, Joe. I don't think the point spread should be 10. But like at 9.5, I don't have a lot of a beef with the point spread there. And there's a difference between those two numbers. The Steelers deserve to be more than a touchdown underdog in this game. Now, we can quibble and say, is 7.5 the right number or is 9.5 the right number? So I'm with you. I think 10 is too much. But I mean, what do you think the point spread of the game should be? I mean, I ask that sincerely.
I thought it would come out at 6.5, something like that.
Oh,
this point spread it ignores every bit of, you say all the statistical data goes into it. This is very matchup specific. Like, I don't know that I'd pick the Steelers.
I mean, the Ravens did beat them by 17 the last time. And I bet Pittsburgh. So, like, I'm with you. I'm playing devil's advocate. The Ravens smashed them the last time they played. And
well,
the Steelers have lost 4 straight games.
Again, the Steelers were playing about 3/4 of their secondary. An injured TJ Watt, no George Pickens. And after they picked off Lamar early in the fourth quarter, it was a one-score game. Not to mention the fact that the Ravens were coming off a double bye, an actual bye, and then the Giants, and the Steelers were coming off an incredibly physical game against the Eagles. You never see that in Steelers-Ravens. Neither team has ever won back-to-back games by double digits in the Tomlin-Harbaugh era, and it ain't going to happen this time.
Okay, I'm making the bet. We are on the same side here. I'll just tell you, if the point spread opened 6.5, it would be up to 7 before you had the chance to click the button. It would not exist.
Why didn't Flowers move it?
Because I think people think the Steelers are terrible. Mm. Like that has to be the explanation. So it's two things in concordance. The Ravens are awesome, and the Steelers stink. And to be fair, I bet, I'm with you. Like, I bet the Steelers. So, like, I agree with you. The Steelers, this is the longest, like, losing streak a team is riding into a playoff since the 1986 Jets, who started 10-1 and lost their final 5 regular season games. So, I mean, this is not, like, oh, sunshine and roses for the Steelers. Now, maybe you could say, okay, like, they know the Ravens and they play the Ravens tough. I don't know. Baltimore deserves to be a huge favorite in the game. 10, I would say no. Set, you tell me it's 7, 7.5, I'm with you on that.
Well, I think to finish off that part of this conversation, if the Steelers played any other team in the playoffs right now, I don't think I would pick them to win or cover or anything else. But I would argue that as bad as they've been in the playoffs, relative to the strength of their roster, in other words, having a possible three-time MVP, the team that has underachieved the most besides the Steelers in the playoffs in recent years might be the Ravens.
I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, the Ravens did make the AFC title game last year, but I understand what you're saying. Just for the purpose of conversation, I would have bet Pittsburgh at like a pick 'em on the road in Houston. I would have bet the Steelers if they had played on the road in Houston. So I'm with you here. I'm on the Steelers. I personally think you are giving them objectively saying this, I think you're giving them way too much credit, but you're on the radio in Pittsburgh and I totally get it. I understand.
No, I hope they win tomorrow.
It would be awesome.
Nick, if I thought that the Steelers, if I didn't have this opinion, I don't care where I was on the radio, I wouldn't be
saying it.
I'm basing it again on every
shred.
Do you think
they're going to win?
No, I think Lamar's going to win it in the end. 20-22. Yeah, 25-22 is my pick.
So you like the over in the game.
Yeah, do you?
No opinion.
I actually like the over in the game, but I don't think the Steelers cover this as an underdog, Nick. I think it's going to be a 2-touchdown win for Baltimore. And I'm also in lockstep with you that I think that people around here, they're so excited that they matched up with Baltimore. I would have much rather had a Steelers matchup in Houston than Baltimore. I think that's absolutely a spot. But real quick, Nick, before we let you go, out of every game this weekend, which underdog do you like not only to cover but to outright win their matchup?
So I'll answer this question, Donnie, in a second. But can I ask you guys a question first?
Sure.
We all watched the game on Saturday night last week, right? I think it's the worst game I've ever seen an NFL wide receiver play. Is George Pickens going to show up in this game?
Great question.
Can't say I have a lot of faith in it.
Great question.
Because, Joe, you like the Steelers in the game. If Pickens is going to pull that routine, they're losing by 17.
Agreed.
Need him to play well if this game's going to be close. I hope he plays well. One thing that I bet the Steelers, we're betting on something that is very volatile here because you need Pickens to play well, obviously. Underdog to win. It's his Monday night count, or you want me to give you something for the weekend?
I mean, you can go with Monday night. You can go with whichever game you feel best about the underdog winning the game outright.
Okay, sure. So, the answer to that question is the Rams on Monday night. So, obviously, thoughts and prayers continue to go out to people in Los Angeles with the fires and first responders and people that have lost their homes, in danger, lost their lives. But just from the sports perspective, the game's going to be played in Arizona now, so they've moved the side of the game on Monday night. The Vikings got bet as a result. Minnesota's close to a full 3-point road favorite. And also, and I don't mean this derisively as it concerns the Rams. The Rams and Chargers both have no home field advantage. People in Los Angeles root for the Raiders. That's LA's team. So I think that this move is a little out there for me. It's Sam Darnold as still a road neutral site favorite in a playoff game against Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. I'll take the Rams guys to win on Monday night against Minnesota.
Nick, great stuff. That was nice and spicy today. We'll be back next week. We'll see if we have another Steeler playoff game. But either way, it'll be great as always. Thanks, man.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And in all seriousness, I don't know if George Pickens listens. Hey, George, can we have a better effort coming up tomorrow night, please? If some of us are betting the Steelers. Thank you very much.
That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. That got a little spicy, Donnie, did it not?
A little bit. I mean, he played a very good devil's advocate there because you were arguing, but you both have the same feeling that the Steelers can cover the spread.
Yeah, he's going with that, and so am I. I just think, like I've said a million times here, it's very, very matchup specific, and I do think Zay Flowers is a gigantic deal. He's also right, though, that George Pickens, that might have been the worst game I've ever seen a wide receiver play. He executed the rare full Deontay by running backwards with his first catch, and then he dropped three passes and finished a big game with one catch for 0 yards and he's supposed to be a star. You don't find too many of those, Donnie.
And then he had an argument with fans in the first couple of rows of the stadium.
I forgot about that.
That was yes. About. And Pat Freiermuth had to go calm him down. Aditi told the guys something on Wednesday, Joe. I mean, and now she's been a sideline reporter for CBS for a couple of seasons now.
Yeah.
She said she hasn't yet seen another player have to be, I don't want to say like babysat and coddled, but it's kind of bordering on that. She hasn't seen another instance of a player needing to be helped by his team more than George Pickens to stay focused in a game.
It's pathetic, and Mike Tomlin enabled him the whole way. We've talked about this multiple times in the last 2 weeks. His first year in Atlanta, you have this child on the sidelines who has done nothing in the NFL, screaming for all the TV cameras to see, get me the damn ball. And Mike Tomlin coddled him and said afterward, that was absolutely, didn't even think about it. It was such a small deal. I remember specifically Cam Hayward having to babysit Pickens on the sidelines there. Mike Tomlin drafted him. Mike Tomlin laughed at the red flags that were out there. In fact, Mike Tomlin said, I believe this is a direct quote, but it was something to this effect. I resent the fact that people say there were red flags around George Pickens. Well, there were. From your brethren in the coaching community, from scouts, from tons of people going into that draft, that's a major reason why George Pickens dropped to the Steelers, where he was Mike Tomlin's guy. Mike Tomlin coddled him from day one since then. Every time we've seen one of these things, you can only imagine, by the way, if this is what happens in front of the world, what happens behind closed doors with George that Mike Tomlin coddles him for. And now Mike Tomlin is reaping what he sowed with George Pickens.
And he is playing out pretty much every red flag that scouts had on him.
Enabled, coddled, don't want to win, can't win with him, bad team, you know, all that stuff.
A lot of people, yeah. A lot of the thought was, well, he dropped because he got hurt, and the Steelers were a beneficiary of a guy being injured, but he's realistically one of the most talented players. But the case was with a lot of the people going into that draft was, yeah, this guy is one of the most talented receivers, but he won't be picked like he's one of the top receivers because X, Y, and Z that are his problems when he's on the field. I mean, I'll credit him this way. Off the field, like outside of the game of football, we haven't really heard a peep.
Right.
He's done goofy stuff on social media, whatever, but you know, he's not getting into any sort of criminal activity or anything like that, which is a very good thing. It just so happens that the headaches arise, the red flags on the field going into that whole process are now taking shape 3 years in.
Yeah, man, the warning signs were there about Pickens, and it's been Mike Tomlin who has enabled him the whole way in order to get production out of him, right? That's what you do. He must believe that's the best way to get whatever he can get out of Pickens. It was the same approach with Antonio Brown. Coddle him, make special rules for him. Tomlin admitted that to Ron Cook in an interview one time. And see how much you can get out of him. And maybe Mike got more out of Antonio Brown, more years, more production than anybody else would have gotten. But eventually it turns, sometimes earlier than with others. And there's a long list of guys that Mike Tomlin could not corral once they went south. Once they start to go that way, he is unable to bring them back, and the Steelers eventually trade every single one of them. And I'm talking the category is problematic receivers. Santonio Holmes still had good years left when he started to go south. Couldn't retrieve him, trade him. Antonio Brown, he got a lot of production out of, but eventually couldn't retrieve him, trade him. Martavis Bryant, never really reached his potential here. Had one pretty good year here. Couldn't control him. Traded him. Chase Claypool started to go south early. Couldn't bring him back. Got rid of him. And it's immaterial, by the way, how the trades turned out. This is simply, was Tomlin able to bring these guys back once they started to go south? The answer is no. They traded them all in wrong way. Deontay was the latest example. And now we have this guy, George Pickens. And the question is, how much can Tomlin get out of him before they get rid of him? And I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. But anybody out there who is delusional enough to believe that Mike Tomlin's going to reel this one in after all the examples I just said, no, this has gone south from day one. The only question is, when will they trade him? I don't think they're going to sign him, Donnie. I think eventually they'll trade George Pickens. And man, in the crucible of playoff football, it's like a chemical reaction. George Pickens, I forget what the periodic table, you know, when you have one and another, but it's all heightened now. So George Pickens is an element going into this game. And if he combines with that playoff pressure, there could be an explosion where this guy is throwing Gatorade bottles on the sidelines and going crazy and having one catch for 0 yards and pouting and fighting. Or you may get a George Pickens where the chemical reaction is people want to doubt me. They want to laugh at me. They want to call me soft. I'm going to go out there and play for the coach that went to the mat for me and drafted me. You're going to see me have one of my greatest games ever. I don't think you're going to get much in between. I think it's boom or bust on George this weekend.
Here's the other thing to consider in this whole relationship. It's not necessarily just the organization's choice of what happens here after this season and what will likely be their biggest decision to make. And I don't say that lightly because of what could happen at quarterback, but you have a potential star wide receiver. You're getting to the point where if you don't pay this guy this offseason, then he will be very unhappy entering training camp.
Yeah, he will.
And you think the headaches are rough now. It's going to be even worse. And that's a case where I don't even blame the player because we see that often in the NFL. It's not like it'll be the first time we see that happen. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities at all that the player says, I'd rather go somewhere else.
Oh, I 100% agree with that, that it could come from that end. And then you have to ask the question, too, maybe based largely on this game, how attractive a trade commodity is George Pickens going to be after this? Because we already know many teams looked at that guy, that talent in the draft and said, no, thank you. What do they say now? He has been pretty productive in the NFL, has helped the Steelers, I'd say, win more than he's contributed to them losing. But an implosion against the Ravens, what does that do? In the meantime, Donnie, in the meantime, has T.J. Watt been, has he been dissed again here, T.J. Watt? We have the first team All-Pro out here. And Cam Hayward made it first team. Chris Boswell made it first team. Very well deserved. TJ is second team. Miles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson are the first team edge rushers. What think you of that?
I actually don't think he has a huge gripe, especially with Hendrickson. Hendrickson's a monster. He just happens to play on a bad defense. Garrett is too. As much as people don't want to admit it, he is. He just plays on a terrible team and a terrible franchise, which, by the way, some of the breaking news with the Browns that Deshaun Watson ruptured his Achilles again in his recovery.
My God.
So he will have to obviously get surgery on it again, or I think he may have just gotten surgery on it again. For what that's worth, I don't think that dude ever plays another snap in the NFL, and the Browns could very well get out of that disastrous contract due to the injury. But with the discussion of first team All-Pro at the edge rusher position, well, first, the AFC North, it's pretty clear that they have the best in the business. There are three of those guys on the top two teams of the All-Pro list. I think it's actually hard to have a gripe with the two guys ahead of him. And I've been a T.J. Watt backer against the Miles Garrett argument a lot. But those two guys ahead of him are fantastic players. Hendrickson, I think, is maybe the most underrated player in the league on defense. He just kind of goes under the radar because the Bengals' defense hasn't been good. Man, was he a monster last week. I like that guy a whole lot.
I'm going to say that TJ should have made first team over Miles Garrett. TJ, Pro Football Focus, I might add, has TJ with his best grade of his career. And that's because his run defense grade has skyrocketed. They have him with the highest graded season of his whole career, Donnie. And even though the sack number doesn't jump out at 11.5 compared to Garrett 14, I would argue some very empty sacks, by the way, for Myles Garrett in recent games where they're getting their asses kicked and he's getting some individual numbers. Having said that, forced fumbles, TJ leads the league. He has more forced fumbles than Hendrickson and Myles Garrett combined. He's got six. They've got five. He's got two fumble recoveries, more than those two combined. He's got four passes defensed, deflections, things of that nature. Hendrickson has eight. Garrett only has one. So it's not hard for me to make a case for TJ. Having said that, I don't feel like this is some huge slight or that he's been snubbed severely in any way. I actually think he's a better player than Myles Garrett all the way, all around. And I still think some of his conventional numbers were very good and better than Garrett's this year. But I don't think, you know, there should be a headline tomorrow anywhere that says TJ snubbed.
No, I think the bigger story here is the fact that the Steelers have a 35-year-old defensive tackle who's a first-team All-Pro.
Yeah, and I thought he should have been their team MVP, by the way.
I think he's their team defensive player of the year. I maybe had the cop-out when naming my MVP as Chris Boswell, but I'm standing beside it. I know that people want to say, well, kicker's not a real player, yada, yada. But anyway, when it's on to Hayward, surprising amount of people were critical of that contract when it happened. It was like you were taking money out of their wallets to pay Cam Hayward. We saw the criticisms come down when the Steelers paid this dude this offseason. I'm glad I wasn't one of them because I know Hayward kept the receipts on that. He went out and had one of his best seasons. He has as many pass breakups as like some of the best corners in the game, of the best defensive backs in the game. He was fantastic against Cincinnati. He only had one tackle, but he knocked down three passes in the game. He had that play that knocked Joe Burrow out of the game for a few moments where he bulldozed an offensive lineman. You should not be able to do that to someone of your same size and stature. And he made the guy look like a child in the game. Hayward, I say it all the time. He's like Benjamin Button. I've never seen the movie, but I know it's the guy aging backwards. Or you say aging like a fine wine on the football field. That's what this dude is continuing to do.
Yeah, I said at the time that if they didn't have an out, it would not be a wise decision. But once the contract came out, and it turned out that after this season, the Steelers were on the hook for nothing, then I thought, okay, well, that's an excellent contract. Why not? And he has come out and had maybe his career. And the fact that he tacked on this one, to me anyway, I think clinches the fact that he should be a Hall of Famer. I really do. When I stack up his numbers and his overall play compared to guys already in the Hall of Fame, I think he belongs there. Coming up next, Donnie, let's talk a little more about this All-Pro team. And then I've got a new game for you. It's a game day, isn't it? This is called the End Game. I'm going to give you the name of a Steelers player. Could be Najee, could be George Pickens, could be a surprise, might be an offensive line coach, might be an offensive coordinator. And you tell me the percent chance that that guy will be back here in Pittsburgh next season. We'll play the End Game next. The 50-minute mark on the fan coming up here, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're out at Studio B here, Bowser Chevrolet. They welcome us with open arms. We have a wonderful time out here every time we come out. I want to talk about the Good Feet store, Donnie, if you would indulge me. And the first thing I want to say is that a lot of us have had issues with our feet when we want to start things like this time of year. And I know it's Happy Quitters Day, I believe. I believe this Friday in January is when a lot of people quit their New Year's resolution. Well, don't do that, especially if what's keeping you back is foot pain from you want to walk or run or have a new activity or get yourself in shape. Maybe you've been misdiagnosed. I had pain in the joints of my big toes forever. Then I went to the Good Feet store. Pain relief is what I got. That's what you could get. This can work for you, whether it's plantar fasciitis, whether it's pain and burning in the balls of your feet, needles in your heels, whatever it might be, it's all customized to you. You don't need new shoes, all that stuff. The Good Feet Foot Arch Support System designed around your feet and your shoes. And it worked for me. It could work for you. I went to one of the stores, the one out by IKEA, across from Robinson Town Center, or in Robinson Town Center. There's one in Cranberry Township, Route 19 North, next to Walgreens. There's one down in Morgantown, which is at the Suncrest Town Center. You can check it all out at goodfeet.com. Come on in. Try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet store. Donnie, as we've talked about many times today, there are many bigger picture stories with the Steelers-Ravens games. You know, for example, Mike Tomlin. I mean, the narrative that's going to surround him all offseason, I think, is solely dependent on this game. They lose, especially if they get blown out, but if they merely lose, then you have a playoff losing streak that's near a decade. Then you have everybody with pretty good fodder saying, man, you should either move on or put him on a hot seat going into next season. All that stuff. That completely changes if they win the game, pending further playoff results. I mean, they lose 47-10 the next week. Yeah, but there's a lot going on here. And one is that several people, including coaches, not Tomlin, I don't think, of course, but several people may be making their final appearances in the black and gold here. Let's talk about that. Let's do it in the form of this. We'll call it the end game. And I want you, Donnie Football, to tell me the percent chance that this guy will be back with the Steelers next season. Start with this one, the obvious one, Najee, who said yesterday, yes, he's well aware that that could be the case. He's compartmentalized it to where he's focused totally on this game, but he's well aware of it. Percent chance Najee is back.
Do you want just a percentage or a little explanation?
For whatever you feel is appropriate, Donnie.
I only give this about a 10% chance. I think Ray was around the same number. I think this will be as simple as, you know, a handshake at the end of the year, a thank you for your service. Good luck to you elsewhere. If you happen to not really get anything else, come on back. We can talk. Although I think to Najee's credit, even though I haven't been a gigantic fan of him as a player, that I think he's going to get himself at least a little bit of money this offseason.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I think, man, it's more than what the Steelers would give.
I don't know about that either. I look at his numbers, and they're cumulatively impressive, but he's not that impressive.
How about what Aikman said during that game?
Yeah, and he was really need to figure out a new bar for running backs at 1,000 yards now that we're playing 17 games. These days, Donnie, he averages under 4 yards a carry for his career. I mean, he's not a needle mover. He's not a home run hitter. He's durable, and I love his attitude. He runs with attitude. I just don't think he's very good. I think there are a lot of guys now, not a lot of guys maybe who could play this many games. What is it, 72, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
This many games in a row, but he's just not that good. That's the problem, and that's a problem. And even his durability and his mileage is going to work against him in free agency because people look at that, say, my God, this guy already has 1 million touches, and look at all the games he's played. What are we getting here? We're getting a guy who averages under 4 yards a carry, is not a home run threat, and has tons of mileage. So I disagree, but we can agree to disagree. We got to move through these. You ready?
Go ahead.
Russell Wilson, percent chance.
49.
By the way, I give Najee about the same thing, less than 10, really. 49 for Russell. So much dependent on this game. I believe in Russell. So I'm going to say a 60% chance right now, though it's going to get very complicated.
I do think it's as simple as if he has a good game tomorrow night.
So do I.
Yeah.
Justin Fields.
35.
I'm going to say I think that Justin Fields may find a suitor out there, but more importantly, and again, a lot dependent on the game. Like if Russell stinks and the Steelers want him, I should say higher than that. I should say higher than that. I should say 35%, really, because it's not me making this decision. If Mike Tomlin likes him and the Steelers like him, they might not have a bunch of choices.
Could you imagine the shift or maybe the conversation that takes place if the Steelers are, I don't want to say stagnant, but let's say they're not cruising up and down the field. Russell Wilson's playing an okay game. They bring in Justin Fields for one of these plays, and he pops off. Let's say it's one of those read option plays where he goes for 50 yards. They score a touchdown, and all of a sudden, the Steelers are in the game. I think right there in the instance of one play,
yeah,
a lot of conversations can change.
George Pickens, percent chance he's back next year.
I'm putting that at a straight up 50-50.
So am I.
It might be a cop-out answer, but I think it truly is. You either sign the guy or you trade the guy.
TJ Watt, that may sound crazy. He's got 1 year left on his deal. Under the old, what was it, the Ralph Kiner theory that the Pirates GM said to him, we can win with you or we can lose with you and we can lose without you. TJ Watt is due for a gigantic new contract this offseason. This offseason. Of course I want him. Of course I'd pay him. He's TJ Watt. But would, if you're back in the same old place again, would trading him while he's still marketable to the point of maybe two first-round picks, is he that good still? I don't know. That's what Khalil Mack once netted right around this point in his career. He could launch a, quote, rebuild. However, I don't think the Steelers will do that. I think there's a 99.9% chance.
The same exact number. I didn't know how much into the decimals you wanted to go to, but I say 99%.
But if it were me running the team that and they lose, especially if they lose emphatically again in the playoffs, I don't see how you couldn't consider that to like, how do we jumpstart this thing? More importantly, how do we find our quarterback? How do we find our quarterback?
You'd absolutely need to have your socks knocked off by an offer. And I also think you'd have to stay away from a good chunk of teams. Like basically anybody you see as a future contender in the AFC.
All right, let's run quickly through these. Minka has $22 and $24 million cap hits ahead. That's all pro team was interesting to me because he ain't on it. First or second team. He slipped in our eyes. He slipped in everybody's eyes at this point. You willing to pay him that much still? Or would you put him on the block?
I would have him still over 50%, but more like a 60 to 65%. I think he's right back here next season, but I at least can squint and see a world where they maybe try to make some sort of move there.
Dan Moore.
I put that at like 5 to 10, similar to Najee.
Me too. Cam Sutton. Terrible signing.
2%. I understood like the, well, it's risk because of all this stuff happening. I didn't like the signing when it happened, and I definitely don't like it now. I think he's been bad, downright bad.
Neither do I, and yet they seem to like him. So I'm going to put it at 50-50.
And it was another...
Wouldn't be for me.
It was another case that they thought, well, we'll bring him in and we'll fix him up. The guy just had some horrible legal trouble, but we'll bring him in here and we'll fix him up. Now, he's been bad.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
15.
What?
I don't know.
I put it at 0, but I put wherever Arthur Smith, if he winds up getting a head coaching job, I think Cordarrelle will be his assistant head coach, his coordinator, and his starting running back.
Well, are you going to get to Arthur Smith as part of this?
I am going to get to that, yes. DeMarvin Leal has 1 year left. What has happened with this guy? Percent chance.
Well, he's basically been on the side of a milk carton for the last 2 years. I don't know, I'll go like 20. I think it's a pretty small chance.
Ogunjobi, $10.5 million hit next season.
I think he's someone that they move on from. Another one of those, listen, man, just part of doing business. We can save some cash here.
It was a bad signing. I said it at the time. Paid him too much money, too undependable. He has some really good games, can look dominant even at times, which makes you wonder, why not more often? Not worth the money, move on. Rebuild that defensive line. Arthur Smith, percent chance he's back.
I'd give it 75. I think there's a pretty strong chance he's back here. Like, they won't part ways. So unless he actually would get offered and hired for one of the head coaching positions out there. I don't think he's going anywhere. Although I don't think he will. Like a lot of the two interviews he has, the nets are cast very wide.
But if he gets one of those offers, he's gone. I don't care what he says.
Oh, yeah.
There's 32 of these jobs on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not blaming the guy if he takes another head coaching position, but I don't think the team parts ways.
Me neither. And I think the team, again, largely dependent on this.